Today's episode is brought to you by Lufthansa. Time flies comfortably when you're enjoying every minute, every detail, and every little indulgence on your flight. Lufthansa. Nonstop you.
So you thought the threat of legal action from the state of California would stop autonomous Ubers from hitting the streets? Think again.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, this is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. So this week, Uber said San Francisco residents could now hail a bunch of self-driving cars within city limits. This, of course, expands on Uber's original launch of the service in Pittsburgh earlier this year. Not so fast, however. Apparently, the state of California is calling for a complete halt to this, claiming Uber's experiment is illegal, and they're threatening to sue. Where does this leave Uber? Let's get the very latest on this story. Joining us now is the Wall Street Journal's Tim Higgins. So, Tim, just to break down the legalities here, specifically, what is the state of California basing this claim on? Why are they saying it's illegal for Uber to test these self-driving cars?
Well, the state of California says that cars that have the technology in them to make them self-driving, if a manufacturer wants to test them on the roads, then they have to seek a permission from the state to do so.
Okay. And so Uber's response to this is what exactly?
Well, they haven't responded to us since the DMV sent out a letter late yesterday afternoon telling the company that they thought the vehicles were illegal under the fact that they weren't licensed to be on the roads and they needed to stop and get them off the roads. But prior to doing that, the company had told us they didn't think they needed a permit because they didn't believe that they were seen as autonomous under the California law. So that's why they felt like they could kind of go around that and put them on the road. And essentially the argument is that they've got their safety drivers behind the wheels, and they've got an engineer in the passenger seat, in the front seat of these vehicles, who are monitoring the vehicle. And I rode in one of the SUVs the other day, and the driver, the operator, if you will, kept his hands essentially hovering over the wheel, ready to take it over if something happened. And in fact, he did take it over a few times during the ride because the car could not figure out the driving situation.
Wow. So with Uber maintaining that it doesn't require clearance because its cars have a driver on board, does that hold up? Is that interpretive? I wonder which of the two camps have the best leg to stand on. Could this be a tough call legally, or is it sort of just open to interpretation?
Well, I was talking with a legal expert who helped consult on the drafting of the statute a few years ago, and he talked about how this was actually an issue that he brought up at the time. And so if you look at the text of the law, this legal expert says that there might be a plausible argument that Uber has. But the purpose of the law, or the intent of the law when it was created, was pretty clear that these companies would seek a permit to test these vehicles on the road. The idea of getting a permit from the state for these tests is there's a couple reasons behind that. A, it's part of the effort of creating trust in the technology and providing transparency for how this new emerging thing is taking place. So at the end of the day, this legal expert would say that Uber is not conforming to at least the intent of the law was, and it's definitely not helping build trust in the system.
Mm-hmm. Switching gears for just a second, because in some bad timing news here, earlier this week, there was video out of an Uber vehicle caught on camera, apparently acting a little reckless. What exactly was caught on tape?
Well, in California, there was a video of an Uber car apparently running a red light. A taxi cab driver captured it on video, and it started making the rounds throughout social media and became quite the talk of the town, as you can imagine. The company says that this was not a vehicle being operated in its autonomous or self-driving mode, and that it was a human error, and that the driver involved was suspended while they investigated it.
Mm-hmm. And apparently some passersby have seen cars lurching through intersections. How badly do these things complicate matters, and how does Uber contend with this?
Yeah, it's interesting. One of the shortly after Uber put these vehicles on the roads in Pittsburgh, the first city that it started this project, mm-hmm. There was reports of maybe one of the cars doing an improper move, and it took the company a few days to figure it out that it wasn't in autonomous mode or self-driving mode, and that it was a driver. And so even if a witness of these vehicles from the outside, it's really hard to know who's driving. And in fact, when I was riding it, you could see the look of confusion on people's faces on the sidewalks as to exactly what these vehicles are all about. Mm. They have large sensors on the roofs of the cars that are spinning about. They have multiple cameras. This camera sensor pack on the roof is probably 100, 150 pounds. It looks really like a science fair project, and it definitely draws attention.
We're talking autonomous Ubers versus the state of California. You're listening to the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
Today's episode is brought to you by OnePlus, maker of the new OnePlus 3T smartphone, the next generation of the year's best-reviewed phone. Featuring industry-leading processor speeds, 16-megapixel front and rear-facing camera, up to 128 gigabytes of storage, and a premium all-metal build. Plus, the OnePlus 3T has Dash Charge, an exclusive technology that sets a new benchmark in charging speeds. A quick half-hour charge will give you a full day's worth of battery life. Make it yours without a carrier contract at OnePlus.net.
Thank you for listening, everyone. The Journal's Tim Higgins joins us talking autonomous Ubers. So, Tim, so interesting, because right off the bat, Uber starts its testing, and already there's this first documented incident, and then it's ordered by the state to stop what it's doing. Yet it doesn't seem to faze Uber in the least. This doesn't actually surprise me, because they kind of have this irreverent reputation out there.
Yeah, well, it definitely, the company definitely has fought regulatory issues,
right,
at local levels really since its inception, really fighting in a lot of places the taxi industry to kind of get themselves in into their markets. And essentially their kind of habit is to get in and get established, and then if things kind of take care of themselves over time.
Right.
It doesn't make them a lot of friends, but they tend to benefit from the fact that they have a lot of users. And those users tend to like the service and can be very vocal in their support if governments start to raise concerns or start to threaten to do things. We've seen that in several occasions. I think about the fight that Uber had in Manhattan, New York City. There, they definitely were able to mobilize their political support to ensure that Uber could continue there.
Right, because it's not really new. You know, it almost seems like Uber does something new and different, something regulation hasn't had to contend with. Then it all kind of mends itself. Do you think this could very well just end up being another case of that?
This, I think, is probably for some of these tech companies a good early example of dealing with the complexities of the automotive industry. Mm. When you look at the challenges that Uber's had in the past, that has been has dealt with kind of the regulations of taxis and those kind of services that tend to have regulatory barriers of entry. When you look at the issue of the California DMV, these are regulations that are put in place for safety, not only the people in the Uber, but the people on the roadway. And it is just the beginning of the complicated maze. It doesn't begin to talk about the federal layer of regulations and or the fact that you go outside of the U.S., there are even different and you know, a wide array of these kind of regulations. So the level of complexity that an automaker faces to put a vehicle on the road is an industry into itself. And, you know, there are not a lot of other tech companies that are accustomed to that, on a daily basis. So it's definitely a learning experience. We saw Apple For example, a company that has traditionally tried to stay out of Washington for all of its years, it now is getting into more regulated businesses and has become a little bit more vocal. And we saw them post a letter to the federal regulators regarding potential policies for autonomous vehicles last month, and it was a rare kind of window into how their efforts to maybe get into this space are kind of playing out. And so for Uber, it's kind of one of the first tests is to see how they are going to interact in this space. Are they going to be like the 20 other companies that have gone through the process of getting licensed to have test vehicles on the road, or are they going to try to make a new path?
Yeah, obviously there's a lot to iron out here. Tim Higgins, thank you as always.
Thank you.
Once again, we've been speaking to the Journal's Tim Higgins. He always has the latest on all things autonomous cars, so you want to make sure you check out his stories at WSJ.com. That ends this edition of the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.